News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 5th of December. No, it is Sunday.
Yep.
Living in the past. The 5th of December, Anno Domini 2004. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting news and reports and stuff going on. We might even take a phone call or two. You never know whether or not that'll happen. And so, first we'll get to the news, and we'll start with Steve, since Dave can't find his news.
Yeah,
we found it.
Oh, he did find it. Okay.
We had some interesting, backpedaling maybe in the Apple world this week. On Tuesday the 30th, earlier in November, when Apple announced the U2 iPod, they also announced the European Music Store. I got to think for a second here. They added more countries to
Steve's thinking.
Yes. They added more countries to the European iTunes Music Store, so more countries are able to purchase songs now. They also said that they should have Canada online by the end of November, which was always a point of irony because Canada's our closest physical neighbor. Why has it taken 2 years for Canada to get into the music store?
They couldn't find the front door.
They couldn't find the front door. too many ice cubes and igloos.
Thank you very much.
we know that Canada's a wonderful country. Mm-hmm. So on Tuesday the 30th, the last day of November, Apple said, we're sorry, we're not going to make iTunes for Canada in November. On Wednesday the 1st, they announced iTunes Canada.
Oops.
So they apologized for not making their goal.
Apologized for the apology.
Right, and then on the next day they announced iTunes Canada. It's creating a similar uproar to what's happening for iTunes Europe in exchange rates. iTunes Canada, the price of a song is 99 Canadian cents. Which, you know, sounds the same as 99 American cents, but that's only 83 American cents.
So they're getting them cheaper.
Right.
Stinkers.
In England.
So if you get an ISP in Canada.
Right. You need a Canadian address when you register your iTunes Music account.
So all you need is an email address in Canada.
Or a P.O. box in Canada. And go up near the border.
Can you get Gmail in Canada?
Probably. You go up near the border, get a P.O. box. In fact, I see it on the American side all the time, U.S. addresses, so they can come across the border and collect U.S. Mail. Similar sort of thing is happening in Europe. In Britain, the music store is 79 pence, but the rest of Europe is 99 euro cents, which is a different conversion. So Britain is paying more than the rest of Europe, and the U.S. is paying more than Canada per song. So what's been happening is that British regulators have asked the European Commission to look into the issue and find out what's going on. Apple basically has said that they're charging the same as what other companies are charging for the same product. So other music stores in Canada are 99 Canadian cents, and other music stores in Britain are 79 pence. And part of it is what the market can bear. So if you it's always been an issue that if you call another store, the price might be different. The legalities, at least in America, are price fixing. A bunch of stores can't get together and say, "Here's we're going to charge this high price." As long as there's someone saying, "You know, we're going to charge less," that's okay. So it's interesting going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with the prices of different products. And one thing that Apple is pointing out, the cost of products for any company vary from country to country and even from city to city in many places. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, but it's the internet now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that makes it different.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Right. It's different.
We've heard from a lot of people in Canada that will order something from a U.S. address and pay the conversion rate to Canadian dollars rather than pay the import duty from a Canadian store.
All right, right.
Which is probably against Canadian law because you're bypassing a tax.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen to this and what, if anything, will happen to the cost of music online. Legal music online.
Legal music online, exactly. Exactly. Next. Very nice. Is that it? You got everything?
Well, I got a bunch more, but I'll let Dave go.
Let's go, Dave. Go.
Okay. A few things. A number of things here, folks. One, fishing. For you folks that don't know what phishing is, basically what it is you get emails. And online phishing scams have increased in October. Last month alone, 1,142 sites were used for phishing. Basically what phishing does is it's a scam artist who fraudulently emails to consumers to lure them to a website that appears to be legal.
Yeah, you might get an email from Citibank or SunTrust.
Yeah.
Those
and
are the
And I
two
mean
big ones.
It looks as legit as all get out. Well, all they do is steal the logos and the graphics and all that from it to make it look official, and then they try to grab your information. And a lot of folks are falling for this cuz hey, if they're relatively new to computers and everything else, and, they go to it, well, looked official, and that's what I hear a lot from a number of folks. But the finance, banking is really getting hit bad because a lot of folks, especially older folks, they're getting these emails saying, well, we need to update your account, and they want all this information, personal information, like Social Security numbers and passwords and all that. Hello, they don't ask for that over the internet. They will, have you mail you something. It's just like if they want to get into your account. The bank will never email you a password. They always mail it to you. They, because of the fraud and everything else going on. So watch out for those folks. If you didn't, request, a change or something in your account, call. Don't go through the email. It's just like clicking on to be removed from, an email list. That's the best way to advertise. Oh, well, I'm out here. It's a live email address. Granted, Congress has this anti-spam law, but hello, overseas, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. So, be cautious.
Yeah, big companies like eBay and Amazon are also being targeted because so many people use these services. Right. And one of the tech TV shows this week, they had a guy showing how easy it was to scam someone. He sent out an email that looked like it came from Amazon and said, sign up here for this bonus card. Please enter your name and password for Amazon. And the guy did. And what was interesting is for the TV show, they went to tech-savvy people who thought they were being as safe as they could be,
right?
And they were able to get his account. And they went into a public wireless spot, hacked into somebody's computer. What I got a kick out of was is that the guy doing the hacking for the show.
Not getting news. He's got quite a bit
to
say.
I know, I got comments. Yeah. The guy showing off how to do these break-ins was using a Mac to find the other people, and then he hooked over to his Windows machine to actually break into the other people.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, that's why we here have been telling folks for quite a while to get rid of Internet Explorer and Outlook Express and go to Foxfire or Netscape. They're one and the same. Matter of fact, Netscape just announced that they're coming out with a newer version. It's finally gone into beta, which will have more ease of use and better security and a lot of new features. From what I've been looking at it, it's really going to even step the raise the bar, should I say, against IE. And matter of fact, Foxfire is catching on, or Firefox rather. Thank you. Is catching on more and more with home users, businesses. They just didn't want to take the time to go around and add it on to everybody. I don't know why, especially with the security holes.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Well, there's a number coming. Well, we're thinking about it, but more and more are starting because if they're using it at home, they realize, I can add another browser. It doesn't interfere with Internet Explorer, and I can have more features. So a lot of folks are starting to catch on to that, and it's growing and growing. And Internet Explorer is losing ground slowly. Yeah, very slowly, but they're getting there.
If an IT manager looks up how much time they lose at work, or even a small office, how much time do you lose cleaning your machine from viruses and spyware, that you've lost productivity, you're losing money. If you switch to another browser, you can fix a
one
lot
other
of that.
Thing
one
on
of the before you go on, Bill, CNET, for example, says that Firefox is the dream internet browser you've been looking for. The interesting thing about the who's got what share of the market of a browser market is that you can't tell from your logs because many browsers like Opera and like Firefox can disguise themselves as IE to get past the things that can't run the site if you don't have IE.
Oh, that's one thing that's going to be in the new Netscape, is you'll have the option that if a site comes up and says you want to, it requires IE, Netscape will fake it out and open it up
so
to look like IE.
So the question is, how many of these sites that say they're IE are really IE?
Exactly.
So clearly, the at least to some small extent, the Firefox browser has a deeper in to the market than it you think it does just from the raw numbers.
Just one last note. Later on, I'm going to have a little word on the latest and hottest graphics card.
Yeah, excellent.
You definitely want to check out for your Christmas. Oh, do we got to break it? Oh,
no.
Cool.
Well, I don't know what
you guys just, I'll let you know.
But all of a sudden you were pitching and I didn't know what was going on.
No.
He used this commercial to let us set up.
All right. The Mozilla browser.
With our website of the week.
Yep. The Mozilla browser, we've all talked about Firefox, but there's also an email app for Mozilla called Thunderbird.
And that's sort of one of the main difference between Netscape and Mozilla and then these other programs. Netscape and Mozilla are one big program that does mail and news and
chat,
web.
IRC stuff, everything.
So it's one big program that does everything. If you like small, lean programs, then Firefox and Thunderbird.
Which are actually pieces of the Mozilla suite. Yeah. Firefox, we've talked about. Thunderbird is the email program, and that release is coming out. The release candidate of the 1.0 software is being positioned similar to Microsoft's free end-user application called Outlook Express. But without the user hassles of dealing with advertisements and spam, December 7th, that would be Monday, is the official release date for Thunderbird 1.0. I've been using Thunderbird for months now, from like version 0.6, and I couldn't be happier. It does everything I want to do at work. At home, I still use Eudora, mainly because I've got years of email in it. But also because it has one feature that Thunderbird doesn't have, and I haven't checked out the latest 1.0 release yet, which is that I can say, here's an email, send it out Tuesday at 9 a.m. or whatever. So I can plan things ahead. There's no scheduler for Thunderbird.
We've been doing Firefox on a lot of machines. We even got it down on our server so we can just automatically grab it and install it for folks to give them the option.
You ought to start looking at Thunderbird, too, because it's terrific.
Yeah.
Speaking of Microsoft and Internet Explorer, there's a patch out to fix a security flaw that was discovered a month ago and has been exploited to attack users. The update fixes a problem in the way IE handles the frame and iframe HTML tags. The problem was disclosed early last month. It's been exploited by a variant of MyDoom and a variant of the Bofra worm. Attackers could gain complete control over a victim's system. Microsoft has criticized the irresponsible disclosure of the vulnerability, released the update to the web browser outside of its normal monthly patching schedule. They deem the update as critical and urge all users to install it immediately. If you have XP Service Pack 2, you don't have to, but if you have XP less than Service Pack 2, Windows 2000 and Windows 98, or NT Server 4, you are vulnerable. Speaking of being vulnerable, there's a security flaw in the Windows Server software that could also allow an attacker to gain complete control over systems running the software. The flaw lies in the Windows Internet Name Service, or WINS, which is kind of a Microsoft-only thing, Windows WINS. So most of you will not have a problem. But if you're in a company that has Windows 2000 Professional Server, Windows 2000 Server, Windows NT Server 4, or Windows Server 2003, and you're using WINS, you'd best be patching immediately. It's a pretty good flaw, and you should be patching that if your company does that. Lycos in Europe developed a screensaver that actually gave spammers a dose of their own medicine.
I saw that one.
It's attracting a lot of attention, but not all of it is good. The company officially launched the Make Love, Not Spam screensaver last Wednesday, but a beta version had already been widely distributed. Offered to spam the spammers, the screensaver works by repeatedly requesting information from websites advertised in spam, thereby reducing the performance of those sites. The screensaver has already been downloaded over 90,000 times, but a security expert says that Lycos Europe opened a potential Pandora's box by deciding to take direct action against the spammers. This seems like a very short short-sighted idea of theirs, lowering themselves to the same level as the hackers and spammers. There's a real danger that Lycos Europe has made itself a target for hackers, and what's more, the company could be treading into a gray legal area, although the screensaver does not send spam.
Well, it has more traffic on the net.
Right, it just makes the internet slower.
Right, it doesn't send real spam, but it could potentially violate rules against launching a denial of service attack. If you have the Symbian Limited Series 60 operating system on your mobile phone, you are vulnerable to the Skulls Trojan Horse program. It comes with a worm that can spread to other phones within reach of Bluetooth broadcasting. I've always said Bluetooth in your phone is not the brightest thing you can do, and here's another reason to know that. You get in view of any other Bluetooth phone, and immediately you infect it as well.
Turn off automatic discovery.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I'd have to say that most people wouldn't have a clue as to what OS their phone is running.
Yeah. So, but if you've got Bluetooth,
I guarantee you, we could win that one very easily.
If you do in fact have Bluetooth, you should turn off automatic discovery and only use Bluetooth in those places where you know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Police are questioning a man over the slammer worm, a former member of the 29A Virus Writers Club, a 22-year-old named Benny, who lives in Brno, Czechoslovakia. Brno, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is being spoken to about the slammer worm. There are many people who'd like to speak to him, as a matter of fact.
With large sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Beat him within an inch of his life.
Right. And Microsoft is filing lawsuits against 8 sellers for allegedly buying and selling fake and used certificate of authenticity labels, therefore selling fake versions of Windows. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you, and including your report on...
New graphics card.
New graphics card on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
That you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is our
professional.
really. You get the cam, but the cam misses so much in those 4 seconds between pictures.
No,
I mean,
am I the only one to notice that voice guy has a lisp when he says Steve's name? Okay.
There's a lisp. There's a hiccup. I just can't get it right.
It's good though.
It's good. In the name.
We're all good with it. Not that there's anything wrong with
it. You guys all just looked at me like I had something coming out of my ears. All right.
Well, you do.
Well, you do.
Oh yeah.
No. Yeah. Don't think we didn't notice either.
It's like there's a dead caterpillar on your chin too.
No, it's his shaggy look. He's being Shaggy Rogers.
Well, you have a grayish white caterpillar on your face.
Ruh-roh, Rob. Jinkies.
Answer a computer question.
It's Rob Linton.
Fighting with each and every one of you right now.
Okay, what's the first rule? Never pork off the guy who's got his hands on the board. That's the way the world works.
He controls us.
Exactly. We're going to go. Can you hear me now? We're going to go to the phones and we're going to talk to Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I got a comment and a question.
Okay.
The comment is, on your calendar, you still have Saturday.
No, they switched it.
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, Saturday. The camera page.
No, on the Soundbite website, it says calendar of computer events.
Oh, the calendar. Yeah, I'll fix
you've
it.
Got,
thanks.
You've got Saturday, 12:20.
You're right. You're right. That's actually a programming change that I didn't make every time you bring the calendar
up. I finally got the one... Chris changed the one that if you're on the Wham website and click on our page.
Yeah, I'll fix that. Thanks.
That's been changed, too.
Okay.
Oh, well, before you get to your question, while we're on the subject, I will work on the forums this afternoon. There was a little glitch in the forums, and I'll get that fixed today. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, I read in the paper, it was last Sunday, or one of the emails I'm getting from you guys about System Restore. I've got Windows XP. It's about a 4-year-old system. and I've had a few problems. You say delete all the system restores. So what happens if I got a problem?
Well, that's the point. If you delete the system restores, then you cannot get any of those old systems that you saved back again. It says that right in the security tango. It says it right in there.
Right.
So the only time you need to do that is if you consider that you have a problem and that it doesn't seem to be cleaned out, then turn off system restore, run the security tango, and it should be fine, because many viruses hide in the system restore area. And I don't know what to tell you. It's an interesting design choice by Microsoft. You can either have those system restore points and run the risk of having a virus hide in them, or not have them and run the risk of needing the old system.
Yeah, because if the system restore files are, guarded, that's just basically what they are. They're write protected, so a virus gets in there, and then you try to remove it, it won't go in there and remove it because they're protected. So it reinfects the machine every time you reboot.
Okay, I am fairly secure right now. So how would I do that if I wanted to delete them? Now, if I delete it, I the only day I'll have on there is today, correct?
Right. Okay. So you really don't want to delete it unless you feel the need.
Well, I haven't deleted it since I bought my computer.
Good, don't. You don't have to.
I mean, I did the security tango. I clean out Norton antivirus every day. I do the other ones once a week. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I need to.
No, you don't.
If you see yourself, that's another catch-22. Right. If you see yourself constantly reinfected by the same spyware,
exactly,
it may be hiding in your system restore. Or you may just be going back to the website that's giving you that.
Right. If it happens really quickly when you haven't been wandering around any websites, then it's probably hiding in your system restore. If, in fact, you're fine for a few days and then it comes back, it probably came from a website.
And the thing of it is, too, though, by turning off the system restore, doing the clean, granted, yeah, you're starting out with a new point, but it won't take that long to reestablish new points.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for calling, Linda. That's a great point, and I'm glad that you made us make it to everybody. I still have to rewrite the security tango. Our next caller is Bill from Gasport, New York.
Good morning,
Bill. Where is Gasport, New York?
Let's see. We're
near Middleport.
Next to Middleport.
Yep. That's
just on the road from it. That'll be west of it.
Yep.
So you're just left of Middle New York.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's on your way to Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm not too far.
Yeah.
About half an hour.
Well, no, I used to go that way, Route 33.
Yeah, cool. You can go that one or 104.
Yep.
So you're twixt here in Buffalo.
Yep.
Cool. What's your question?
I went out and bought myself, I got a compact office area. I've been upgrading it and everything. It's an older model. It has a 3D processor with an MNX 3D, 500 megahertz. It already has a 56 megabyte RAM in there, and what I wanted to do, because I was asking, they said you can go up to 128 megabytes, and it has two slots in it. And before in that, I did install it, and gave me a computer error, and so I've been having problems. And they told me to leave the old chip in there, the 64 RAMs, and put the 128 with it. And I've been reading the paper that was given to me in that. They came with indicated that you, they say, do not install different dimension modules.
Right.
8 to 16, and I said, I don't know if I should be doing that.
No, you shouldn't. In general, these devices prefer to have two modules of the same type.
That's what I figured, but the other computer people down here, even where I bought it, told me just put it on the other side of it and leave the original one in.
What you want to do is check your manual and see what the specifications they recommend and go with that.
Because everyone is different.
If they say don't do it, don't do it. Just ignore everybody else and go with the manual. Ignore everybody except us and go with the manual. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and at some point a special guest on the line on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
WHAM News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this, indeed, is Soundbites. Our next caller is Tim from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Yes, thanks. I'm running Windows 98 second edition, and I have a Hewlett-Packard LaserJet 3P printer, and suddenly it's generating a blank piece of paper after every printed page. So if I'm printing from Word 2 pages, I might get 4 pages. And the same with the Internet, same with Excel.
Isn't it nice to get something more than what you asked for?
Oh, yes.
In these days?
Yeah.
Although perhaps you wouldn't like to have that. First thing to check is the length of your printed page.
It may be set to legal paper, not letter.
In which case, it's going to print more than that page worth. And if the printer is smart, it'll actually eject a second page before
it
starts the next one.
There was a known issue, though, with some of the print drivers.
Yeah, there's an obscure setting deep in the print properties where it sends a control D after the print job.
Yeah.
Some printers need that. Control D means eject the page.
Yeah.
If you're getting an extra blank page, then your printer probably doesn't need that control D.
What changed? It was working before?
It was working and just suddenly happened.
No. Something must have changed. You or someone must have touched something somewhere.
Or updated something
or something.
Well...
New program?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing we can ever remember we did.
That's right. I don't recall.
I would suggest that you check the printer driver and make sure that the page is set to regular 8.5x11 U.S. letter-sized paper.
I done install and reinstall.
Well, let's start with this. You know, it's faster to do the search and do it than to have to uninstall and reinstall everything. Check to see that you have letter-sized paper. Look at all the choices in there. Make sure you don't have send control D or eject page after printing. And then if that doesn't work, then as Dave said, reinstall the print drivers, uninstall and reinstall.
Yeah, because sometimes searching for that control D can be a pain in the butt.
I've also run into a few issues of what I call a design deficiency in Microsoft Word.
Design? I like that.
Just the one?
Just the one. Yeah. Well, this is a specific one that causes this problem. As you're typing along in your document, you may click up and down and change something at the top, click back down at the bottom, and you may inadvertently put in a couple of blank returns at the end of the paragraph. And that could inadvertently kick you onto a new page. Fortunately, for most users, Microsoft Word will put a short, about half-inch long, black horizontal line at the bottom of your document that marks the real end of the document. So make sure you don't have any blank lines between your last paragraph and the end of the document.
You can also look to see. Yeah, you can also look at it in there's a preview mode,
page layout mode,
where you can actually see what it's going to be printed. And if you don't see double pages there, then the problem is in the driver.
Right. So similar thing with Excel, where you can end up with blank cells at the end of the spreadsheet.
Right. Exactly. All right. Thanks, Tim. Our next caller is the special guest I told you we'd have earlier. The mighty, mighty Moody Blues 100 is on the line. Welcome.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're great. How are you?
Okay. I don't know if you addressed this earlier because I wasn't listening. I know my mistake. But did you realize there was a problem with the forum?
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to fix it hopefully later today.
Okay. Everybody's trying to post and leaving messages on the topics.
Yep.
That wasn't the question, though. I was curious about... the Windows Task Scheduler?
Yes.
I know there's third-party programs that will record streaming media and act like a digital audio VCR for you.
Uh-huh.
Can it be done with Task Scheduler to, say, open up Audacity and start recording?
It can. It's not quite as full-featured as some of the other products, and one of the ones that we're... going to be talking about a little later in the show is a product called Total Recorder.
Our website of the week.
It'll be our website of the week. And keep listening, because you'll hear that it has an incredible number of features, and it's only $12.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Okay.
I know I've come across another one called Replay Radio,
yes,
which actually allows you to schedule a time to record, and I guess it opens up its own recorder and saves it as an MP3 file.
Right. So does Total Recorder. Well, you'll hear about it. It's a phenomenal product, and it's $15 Canadian, which is
awesome.
Which is about $12. So we'll talk about that at a later point in the show. But right now we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's
got glasses.
Rochester's most listened to radio show, year after year.
5 to...
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Do you know what? He's right. We are back, and I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. How does he know that?
Magic.
He's just astonishing. High tech. He's an astonishing guy.
He must search the web.
He must search the web. Our next caller is Brian from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Appreciate the show.
Two quick questions.
One is Windows Messenger pop-ups. I went online to look at last night. I don't get pop-ups. I use Mozilla, but this is a services. And apparently you can go into either Control Panel Administrative Tools or right-click My Computer, go to... manage and then service and applications and then services
right.
and disable Messenger. Is that correct?
Yes, you can.
You can also in you're talking about Instant Messenger.
No. It's a Windows Messenger.
Windows Messenger service, yeah. which is a separate product.
Yeah, you got to go.
Well, it's the whole point of that is if you're on a network, you're a system administrator, you can get network messages like the server's going down or the the UPS batteries are dead or that sort of fare.
Lunch is served.
And you know, an administrator can send something around saying we're shutting the machines down in 10 minutes.
I'm not on a network, but it keeps saying these operating systems, everything is affected except ME, and you need to you're affected. You need to be updated and all that garbage.
Right. It's also a propagation method for viruses and spyware.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you turn it off.
If you go to the site, they want money.
Yeah. Right. Okay. You just turn it off. They're phishing. It's a phishing scam, and all you have to do is ignore it or turn the service off. If you're not on a network, the service does you absolutely no good whatsoever.
Okay. Next one. I've got 2,000. What would prevent it from not shutting down? I hit shutdown, and it would restart.
Can be a virus.
There's also a preference hiding in there somewhere to automatically restart after power failure.
Because I reloaded Windows and it shut down okay, and it seems like, I don't know if I was accessing a program from my D drive. It used to be FAT32, now it's NTFS, but it would do that. It wouldn't shut down.
Yeah, one of the real problems is that there isn't much in the way of diagnostic tools for things like this. But there are several things that can cause it to happen. As Steve said, it can be told to restart after a shutdown.
Which is usually when you're running a server. If the power fails, you want it to restart.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or it could be a virus that simply doesn't want to shut down and therefore tells Windows, you know what, this isn't a shutdown, it's a restart.
Well, it could be a worm, and like I say, sometimes hijack this is a great utility for finding some of those other things. But I got to preface this with, if you're not sure what's going on and you use hijack, then don't.
Right,
it's not for the faint of heart. You got to know a little bit about the things that are running in the background and that you just can't check everything like you can with SpyBot or Adware.
Yeah, hijack
this is for the people that have some computer savvy in them.
It lists everything that's running, and if you remove them all, your computer will quit working.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sure. I do want to remind people that, speaking of this sort of thing, I will be redoing the... website, and I will be fixing the forums, so don't call in and remind me I have to fix the forums. I will be doing the phones are now open because we've thanked all the people who called in to do that, and they've hung up now. So those of you who are trying to call in and got a busy signal, that's what they were calling about.
I finally had time to get back into the forums and answered a bunch of questions in the Mac forum Saturday, and then the forums went down.
Right. I will fix those, and it may, however, not be early this afternoon. I will be at the School of the Arts. I will be at the School of the Arts watching Annie.
And who's playing Annie?
It's a double cast, but today and next Saturday it will be a young lady named Amelia Rose Francesco, who is Annie. So anybody who wants to see great acting and singing and then dancing. It's a great show. Annie's a great show to begin with. And I have to say that a completely unbiased, unprejudiced opinion is my daughter is phenomenal. I'm very proud of her. That's tonight. And, of course, the show is tonight and all next weekend. But Amelia's...
Where again?
Amelia's Annie tonight and next Saturday at the School of the Arts. Tonight at, I think, 5 o'clock. No, it's got to be 5 o'clock.
Should tell the address.
It's at the corner of
Princeton University.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's 45 Prince Street, but I'm not sure of the number.
Next to the Memorial Art Gallery.
Next to the Memorial Art Gallery. And you should go see it. It's wonderful. That's an unsolicited testimonial about me, about my daughter from me.
Well, while we're on the subject of unsolicited testimonial, I'll solicit one. As some of you may have noticed, I have an article in the December Computer Link magazine.
One of the many thousands of great, truly great people who have articles in that magazine every month.
And what shocked me is that basically it's a review of the new Apple's new iMac G5. What shocked me is that a friend of mine emailed me a list from Apple's Hot News website, and Apple is quoting my article on their Hot News website, which is really interesting. I was basically stringing together as many adjectives as I could think of, and Apple's quoting them all here.
Yeah.
I said that they've created a small, powerful, aesthetically appealing, innovative, creative, workable, user-friendly, attractive, reliable computer that everyone uses. So how many adjectives can you string together at once? And Apple's quoting this on their Hot News site.
Clearly 5 lines worth of
five
them.
If
you go to www.apple.com/hotnews, about a quarter of the way down the page, iMac G5 Ultimate Computer, reviewing the iMac G5, Steve Ray. His name right there, Steve Ray. Listen, we're going to take a break to just get over that because it's given us all the hot flashes. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. And when we come back, the poll, the website, which some of which is not working, and all kinds of other stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Everyone knows about Rob.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites.
I just noticed this mouse. Week.
You hadn't seen this?
Yeah, well, I saw it, but
it's drugs.
Yeah, one of
I'm thinking, is Shirley not telling him?
Oh, it's Enfield. It's not really a drug.
Yeah, one of our customers, who's our iPod guy, answers all the gadgets and knows everything about the iPod, happens to be a drug rep selling items to baby formula. And so he's passing out this really cool Enfamil mouse with a little floaty can of Enfamil in the end of the mouse.
I thought maybe and your wife wasn't telling you.
If you have an extra one, Amelia would, if it's blue, she's into it.
Yeah, and then Sally's he's a big listener to the show, often emails me to correct things that I've missaid.
No, it's just
one. That's the most interesting part of this show, isn't it? All the things you think, I didn't say that, and then somebody writes in and screams at you for, I don't think I said that. And then you listen back and, yeah, I guess I did. Okay.
I thought maybe his wife gave it to him and was trying to give him a hint.
A little hint there?
Yeah, a little hint there.
All right, listen, every week on our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, we have a poll every week. And last week's poll was about Kazaa, which is one of the many download music
spyware programs.
Things, and of course it's full of spyware. iMesh is full of spyware. iMesh is another one, and it's got an interesting piece of spyware that actually beats SSL encryption, so even if you encrypt your data, it still gets it. Anyway, the question was, I use Kazaa. 403 of you voted, making it number 31 in the all-time hit list. I want to thank each and every one of you. And 67% of you said no. 9% of you said yes, and 25% of you said stealing music is illegal, you insensitive clod. And then, of course, in the forum, once you've done that, you can leave an opinion, and most of the whiners were saying, it's not illegal to steal music. Yeah, it is. Get past it. You can steal it if you want to. I don't really care, but don't even try to pretend it's not illegal.
Yeah, how isn't it illegal?
Yeah, because they don't want it to be illegal, so they pretend it isn't illegal. Yeah. Who cares? This week's poll is about Open Office, which is a free alternative to Microsoft Office or anybody else's Office. It's absolutely free of charge. You can download it from the eponymous website, openoffice.org. And the actual name of the product is, in fact, openoffice.org, apparently, as opposed to just Open Office. It's a four-year-old product. And, in fact, a company called Flexity last month began offering a $50 boxed version of it. Why would you pay $50 for a free product? Well, because you get 1 year of free quarterly updates and 1 year of unlimited online tech support. You can get it from CompUSA in a few states, Tiger Direct, or Flexity themselves. Flexiety. I don't know. Flexiety. I don't know how you pronounce that. Anyway, it's a pretty neat product, and many of us have discovered it and use it ourselves. It's a complete replacement for the Microsoft Office suite. It works just slightly differently, so you have to relearn a couple of things. But it's like I always say, it's like driving a car. Mm-hmm. You buy a new car, you still know how to drive. It's just the radio's in a different place. So this one's about openoffice.org, and the choices are, I love it. I've tried it, no big deal. I might try it now that it has support. Who cares? And I'm afraid to try it, you insensitive clod. In fact, so far we have 62 votes. And 26% of you said you love it. Another 26% of you said you tried it and it's no big deal. 24% of you said who cares. 15% of you said I might try it now that it has support. And 10% of you were honest enough to say I'm afraid to try it, you insensitive clod. Once you have, in fact, given us your vote in the poll, you'll see below the poll a little yellow box that lets you stop over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
You got mail.
Thank you. Where you can send me mail if you want to, but you can also leave an opinion about the product. So far, 10 of you have put in an opinion, and many of them actually have to do with the product itself. One person has told me to fix the forms. Thanks. I get that. I got it earlier. I'll get it again later.
probably again and again.
So please join us there. And once the forums are fixed, you can also then come back to soundbites.org and get into the forums where some of the coolest people in the world spend their time and graciously give of their talent and humor and brain power. So if you could do that, we'd be thrilled and delighted. Thank you very much. We're going to go... You know, up until now...
After we were so nice to him a minute ago.
Up until now, Linton, you've been skating the thin edge. You've just leaped over it with both feet. Just so you know.
My job is to keep you clowns on track, and when I'm getting bored, I gotta let you know.
But you have the attention span of a gnat.
So?
No. So has a good question. So? All right, our next caller.
He's going to tell us we should take another call.
Apparently he is. And so we're going to go to Jim, who's waiting patiently in Greece, New York, while we bore most of 18 states with talking about the website. Hi, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
And he still calls us gentlemen. You're a nice guy, Jim.
Really?
I have a Dell Dimension system. It's 1.8 gigahertz. Got a 40 gigabyte hard drive, which has 8 gigabytes left free on it, and 256 meg of RAM running Windows XP Professional. Ooh. And I only have Service Pack 1 on it. I still don't trust Service Pack 2.
Right.
Now, my question deals with burning CDs on the computer. I purchased the Roxio version 7 of their Easy Media Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And installed it, and it seemingly ran okay for earlier this year for the first few months.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last 4 or 5 months, it just seems to be very unstable. It hangs up a lot. It won't complete even. It won't even initialize and begin burning CDs, whether I'm doing music CDs or putting files on CDs or pictures. I try not to do anything fancy. Yeah.
What are you running simultaneously?
I try to run nothing else but the Roxio Easy Media. And I
with 256 meg, that you really can't run much else.
Need more memory.
But so go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you've certainly got a fast enough machine. You've got enough free space on your hard drive.
It may not be contiguous space.
It may not be contiguous space. You might want to defrag your hard drive. But in general, you've really got enough of everything. So,
except memory.
Except memory. If you're not running anything else, it should be fine. But certainly more memory might help. The first thing you might want to do is check to see if, in fact, the Roxio Easy Creator 7 has become corrupted in some way. It's possible. You can either do that by doing a scan of your disk or just by uninstalling and then reinstalling Roxio. But you might also have any one of a dozen viruses.
I did do your Security Tango. Okay. I do it like two or three times a week.
Okay.
And I run Norton antivirus, and it's all up to date, and I make sure I run it regularly.
So the other thing to check is the IDE change for your source volume and your target volume. If your hard drive and your CD burner are on the same IDE chain, there can be issues trying to burn from the hard drive to the CD drive.
And a chain is just another name for the ribbon cable that connects them.
Yeah, but usually it's from CD to CD.
In this case, hard drive to CD, because I only have the one CD drive.
Mm-hmm. So they're on different chains. Yeah.
You may have to open the case and look inside to see if they're
on
different
ribbons.
Usually
that's not an issue, though. It's usually...
And especially with the newer drives that have...
CD to CD, as you...
The newer drives with buffer underrun protection built in. In fact, you want to make sure that's turned on by default.
I did do that.
One of the... Maybe, you said you haven't gone to Service Pack, 2, which is, highly commendable. You don't want to do that. But the other issue is could it be one of the recent updates to Service Pack 1?
Might have messed up your Roxio, and you might need an update from Roxio.
Yeah, you might want to check Roxio.
Yeah, check their website. Okay. The problem is there are so many interactions inside Windows, it's very hard. We ask people what changed, and they say nothing, and I say, no, you're wrong. Something must have changed.
Yeah,
and what might have changed is something you didn't have any control over, an update to Service Pack 1.
Well, would you recommend doubling the memory first, going from 256 to 5?
Yes,
I would recommend that anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Just for general purposes.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure. Good luck.
One of the updates, matter of fact, we were just building a system for a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one of those ATI All-in-Wonder cards where you got the remote, and you can stand back
with the remote
and control the mouse. So we had that all up and working. We did, because it came, new system Service Pack 2 right from the get-go.
Right.
Did some of the updates, screwed up the control for the ATI. So we had to turn around, now go back up there and uninstall it, reinstall it, because one of the updates, Service Pack 2 is a pain in the butt.
Well, and
it's
in
creating
general,
work
the updating,
for me.
Right. You don't care because you're making money. But the reality is that the update process that Microsoft puts people through is problematic at best.
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller is Jerry from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I want to know what the difference is or how much difference there is between Windows 2000 and Windows ME. Why I'm asking is...
Significant.
Wait, Dave's microphone away from him again.
Why I'm asking is I've seen some software that I thought I was interested in, but it says it's okay for Windows 2000, but it doesn't mention Windows ME.
Right. Because nobody mentions ME. It stands for many errors.
Yeah, here's the deal. For years, of course, Microsoft created a product called DOS, which was the disk operating system. Then they created Windows, which was just a graphical layer on top of DOS. That was true of Windows 90, Windows 3.1, Windows 95, Windows 98, 98 SE, and ME. At the same time, Microsoft started a second product line, really completely different, using something they called Windows NT, which they rebuilt from the ground up. It doesn't have much to do with DOS at all.
New technology.
That's NT 2000, XP, all of that stuff. So you have two different branches, the DOS-based branch, which is very old, very unstable, and not tremendously useful, and the NT branch, which is the future. So if something runs under Windows 2000, it's running under that NT branch and probably doesn't work well or at all, depending on what it uses inside the system, on the DOS branch, which includes ME. And the reality is Microsoft is dumping all support for all of the DOS branch stuff. So at some point, if you want any new software or any kind of support or service, you've got to move over to that NT brand.
Well, the thing
with
that
XP
is, too, with ME, is that, just like you said, though, that branch was coming out. Gates introduces the ME product
and
at the same time as he's bringing out 2000. And a lot of folks said, well, we'll go with
a 95, 98, 2000. It will work in ME because that's basically just a minor update to 98.
Yeah.
Right. But if it just says 2000 XP, then it likely won't work.
Yeah, and the simple reality is that Windows ME is not any longer the mainstream.
That was dropped. Matter of fact, they dropped the support for that, but they still got support for Windows 98. Yeah. What does that tell you?
So, it you know, I don't know what your machine is or how fast it is or whatever, but if it would run XP, you should move over.
Yep, definitely.
Presario... compact Presario.
Yeah, but what model?
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, 500 megahertz is minimum. We like to say 1,000 megahertz is better for XP. 512K
memory.
256 minimum, 512 meg is better for XP. So if the machine is capable of running XP, you're better off with it because it's the current supported version.
Yeah, and actually more memory is more important than the speed of the system. You can put it on a 450 megahertz machine if you want to, but you better have a lot of RAM behind it.
I did it on a Pentium, what was it, Pentium 2.
Yeah.
Pentium 2, 450.
Yep, but you had a lot of RAM.
Yeah,
and so it was acceptable.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and we're going to talk about brand new, very hot graphics cards on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites, you lucky, lucky people. Now, before we get back to the phones, I promised you, all you graphics fans out there, gamers and people who do high-end graphics stuff, Dave's got a great new product to talk about.
This is really sweet. I mean, for you, like you said, all you gamers and all that, and whether you're doing it on your machine, playing the game actually on the machine or over the web, you're definitely going to want this. ATI is now coming out with an upgraded graphic line. They're coming out with their X850. This new card has a core clock speed of 520 to 540 megahertz, and memory speed between 1.8 and 1.2 gigahertz. The architect uses 16 pixel pipe. Right now, for you folks this sounds like a lot of terminology and everything else. Like the basic cards right now will do, say, 12 pixels down the pipe. What it basically, in plain English, does is bigger, better, faster.
Especially,
easiest way to
can't beat that.
Especially for 3D games like Doom 3 and Halo 2.
Yeah, if you want the ultimate, I mean, I've seen some of these graphics, that they put up there for the demos. And this one scene I saw where they're taking you through these woods and the meadows, and you just see the grass, and it's just like it's blowing in the wind.
And you can also expect to pay $400-$600 for some of these cards.
But, if that's what turns you on and, you want to treat yourself to an ultimate Christmas gift, or save your pennies for it, and are seriously into gaming, hey, go for it. And like anything else, you wait a little bit and the prices of them will come down, or there'll be other OEM companies that'll be making other things like that. But for you gamers, that's the way to do it. And I can also see the CAD people.
Yep.
I mean, if you're doing CAD design and you've got a huge design that you got to turn and they're rendering it and they're literally turning it 360 degrees, or, up, flipping it up, sideways, whatever. Again, there's another application for these graphic cards that, they could have justified the $400 to $600 price because
it's also
productivity.
Also, as monitors are getting bigger and bigger, they need newer and better video cards to drive them. Apple's pushing the 30-inch monitor at 2560 DPI, or not DPI, 2560 pixels by 1600 pixels, and they're using the NVIDIA GeForce 6800 card.
What's he doing?
So twin 30-inch monitors for over 8 million pixels available to you. And for video professionals, again, the CAD work, you need this huge amount of space these days, which requires a huge video card to drive it.
Yep. And we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Patrick from Irondequoit. Welcome, Patrick. What's your story?
Hi, gentlemen. I am a novice, and I have Windows Microsoft XP. And at my screen where you go in to type in your password to start up,
yep.
When I start up the system, you know, the welcome screen comes up and all the information. And then everything pops up. My background picture's there, but everything pops up. And then it blinks on and it blinks off, and it just stays stationary with the, you know, the design in the background. And nothing else happens.
This is after you log in.
That's correct.
Something is corrupt somewhere.
Yeah. Have you, you've done the Tango.
I don't know what Tango means.
Okay, there we have a website, the Security Tango, and it's at www.securitytango.com. Of course, that's all one word. And if you go there and down the left side of the screen, you'll see buttons. Click on the Let's Dance
button.
But
he's going to have a problem unless this if this is his only computer, because he's not going to be able to get on the net.
Right. What you're going to need to do is to get a friend to download all of the programs. Wait.
If he's got XP and he reboots and he hits the F8 key, you can go into safe mode with networking. Is one
and
of the
still
options.
Get to
that. And that'll get you there.
What we're thinking is that there's something's wrong with Windows, and the most likely cause is proliferation of spyware and viruses.
Okay.
And so the Security Tango website lists specific instructions on how to clean all that stuff
out.
So
when your machine is booting, if you keep hitting the F8 key,
right from the moment you turn it on, keep tapping that F8 key.
One of the options is safe mode with networking.
Okay.
With that, the screen is going to be a lot bigger than what you see in regular mode.
Okay.
But you'll be able to get to the internet, get to sound bites, and then download all the items in the Security Tango and follow that step by step.
Okay, so it's www.securitytangos.com.
You got it.
Okay, gentlemen, I appreciate your time.
Our pleasure. Good luck. And you should dance the Security Tango at least once a week, if not more often, depending on what you do on the net. You might need to dance it every day. Big a pain in the neck as that might be.
We got a machine. There's not a machine that leaves our shop now without the SpyBot and adware on it. We changed our forms because we got tired of writing installed and ran SpyBot and removed.
Yeah.
Installed, adware, and removed.
We had a big week this week.
Lori put it on the form now.
Right, so you just put in the number 6,800, 200.
Yeah.
We had four PCs in this week and removed nearly 10,000 spy objects.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for folks like you two who run shops, it's probably the biggest windfall ever.
We also sold 3 Macs this week specifically to Windows users who were tired of fixing their spyware. Yeah.
Our next caller is Joe from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Well, hi. I'm giving up on AOL, and I'm thinking of getting a Roadrunner or a DSL. And I'm wondering what I should look for to compare the two and what all I have to do to make sure that I don't get my my computer in a situation where somebody else uses it without my knowledge and all those things I hear
very
about.
Very good idea.
And they're completely independent questions as well.
Right. Yeah. The first thing you want to do is we're going back to the Security Tango. Definitely run it every chance you get. Run it the minute you set your machine up. Dance the Tango first.
Okay.
Whether you get broadband or DSL, it's really Max-Nix. It's six to one, half dozen to the other.
Wherever you can get the best deal.
Both companies are offering discounted deals if you pay for a year in advance or 2 years in advance. There are several different companies you can use for both cable and DSL. The biggest issues are things that you won't be able to know about or won't be able to control. DSL is a shared network based at your phone switch, what's called the central office or CO. The more people you have on your CO, the slower your DSL will be. The farther away you are from the CO, the slower your DSL will be. As far as Roadrunner goes, Roadrunner is based on the head end of the cable network. The more people in your neighborhood using Roadrunner, the slower Roadrunner will be. And unfortunately, there's no way for you to know either of those factors.
And one of the other things, like Nick was saying, as far as doing the Security Tango, if this is the only machine that's in the house that's going to be on it,
right?
One of the other products that you're going to want to download and install is free is Zone Alarm. Zone Alarm is a firewall. And since you're going with either one of these products, you're always connected. Unless you had a hardware firewall, you know, and, for folks that have multiple computers, which they normally would have, if it's a standalone, we highly recommend downloading and installing Zone Alarm, which then puts you behind a firewall so folks can't hack into your machine.
Right. In fact, that is step six of the Security Tango is getting a firewall. And again, down the left side there, one of the buttons is about firewalls. You'll see antivirus links and firewall links on that list.
Yeah, both DSL and cable internet are rated at 3,000K compared to your 56K modem.
3 megabits per second.
3 megabits. People understand K a little better.
Yeah.
Okay.
DSL has a slower service at 256K for a little cheaper, and Roadrunner has a faster service at 6,000K for a little more. So it depends on it, on how much you want and how much you want to spend every month.
Okay, now I have Windows 98 right now. Should I upgrade that before I get these?
Do you have 98 SE?
I don't know. It's a newer version of 98. But
how fast is your machine?
Pardon?
How fast is your machine?
It's 256K. I'm sorry. It's boy, I don't remember.
Well, if it's in the 500 megahertz vicinity, and you want to move up, you should go up to 512 meg of RAM.
Okay.
But XP is fine. I mean, that, yeah, you know, you'll certainly find that in the long run, you'll find more programs for it, you'll find more support for it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you've got to check out your machine and make sure it'll handle it.
Yeah, there's nothing inherent in 98 that will prevent you from using broadband.
Only, right. Only if it's the original 98, then you got to do some of the updates because of the networking, the original problems.
Yeah, the Winsock issues.
Yeah, right. So if you go into Start Control Panel and you click on the Systems icon, which is the little computer, the very first splash screen, which is General, tells you what version of Windows you're running. It'll say 98 SE if it is. If it just says Windows 98, then you're just running the plain version. You need to get some of the updates.
Okay. And one last question, when I dump out of AOL, how do I save my favorites and my address list?
You don't.
Okay.
That's simple.
You can open the...
In stereo, you got that one.
Yeah, open the window and print it, and then you can type it into your new email program.
Yeah. Unfortunately, AOL saves it at their end, and
they don't let
you don't get hold
it
of it.
Or anything else.
All right, we're moving on to George from Fairport, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Morning, guys. When I tried to download Norton Internet Security 2005, I started getting some registry errors, and I'm wondering if my problem, I'm still running ME, even though I've been listening to you guys for a long time, but I wonder if that's the problem.
Was this during the download or during the install that you got
the
errors?
Install. Actually, the download came through fine. When I was installing is when I started getting...
Norton has been going through a number of issues. 2004 had a number of problems to where you tried to install that, and once you installed it, you had to run update 3 to 4 times to finally correct the issues. And, oh, guess what? 2005 isn't much better.
And you also should run Stinger ahead of time, or even now.
I did. Before I even downloaded, I did the Tango, so I did all of it.
So that makes sure you're clean before you try to install.
I wouldn't bother with that one. I would just use the Norton antivirus and then just simply use Zone Alarm for a firewall.
It'll save you money, and Zone Alarm, as far as I'm concerned, is a better product.
Yeah, and it causes less headaches. I mean,
in terms of firewall.
Yeah, having Norton try to do stuff that they really don't know how to handle. I mean, they're getting into the market because, oh, it's another product they can add on, and they don't have a clue. Sorry, they hit.
But how do you really feel? Don't hold back. I hate it when you hold back.
In fact, they're getting out of the utility market.
Well, he's on the one. I'm kind of restraining myself since he mentioned that one OS that he's using.
Yes, I know. I know.
Well, I'm about ready. Yeah, I'm about ready to upgrade.
Yay!
Yeah, you got to convert. It's Sunday, and you converted me.
Yeah.
But when I got into that, I got to increase memory, and I'm really thinking about buying myself an early Christmas present.
Yeah, you're almost better off buying a new machine these days than trying to upgrade the old one.
All right,
pass the old one down to the kids.
All right, give me the chapter and verse here. What I need on a new machine? 512.
Let us open our books to how to upgrade.
No, he can go right to my suggestion.
How to purchase.
My suggestion is right on our website, over on the right-hand side, I had the recommendations, and that still holds true to this day.
Is there any advantage to getting more than 512 RAM?
Sure. Yes. More is always better.
And that's especially depending on what you're going to do with it.
Matter of fact, you can also go to my website, and you can select the items that you want in there, and I'll email you back a quote.
There you go. Our next caller is John from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Thanks. I'm running Windows 98, and I cannot get it to defrag.
Right. Because you're trying to do it in regular mode?
Sir?
You're trying to do it right when it starts up?
I'm trying to do it. I go to systems, accessories, yep. And then...
Right. You have to run it in safe mode, and oftentimes safe mode doesn't work, and you have to run it in DOS mode. Because there's other when it looks like there's nothing running on your PC, there are dozens of programs running in the background.
Quite often, it'll run in safe mode, though.
Yeah, and those programs will prevent ScanDisk and defrag from running completely.
What you got to do is when the machine is starting up, keep hitting the F8 key. You're going to get a menu, and the third
this is before you ever get to the loading windows.
Right. As soon as it's starting, you keep hitting F8, and you're going to get a screen. Option number 3 is safe mode, and the screen will look a lot bigger. Things don't get loaded. From safe mode, run the scan disk and defrag, and I guarantee you 99% of the time it will run.
And when that doesn't work, go back to that menu screen and do command line only and run it from DOS mode.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and our website of the week. If you're an audio fan, this is your website. Back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Looking for America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Now, I promised you that we were going to talk about the website of the week. And indeed, we are. Here's Dave.
Okay, we got a... Well, you and I both use this product a while back.
I love this
product. I use it mainly for my MP3 player. When I... You know, it only has 128 megs card that I can put into it. That's the maximum.
And this is obviously Moody Blue should be listening carefully to this.
Yes. Now, what this program allows me to do is manipulate the program. My files. When I copy stuff off of my CDs onto my computer and I want to put them on my MP3 player, I don't need the stereo quality for playing them through headphones.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
So I can, with this program, reduce the size.
And the name of this program is?
Total Recorder. We've got a link up on the website right now. It's been around for quite a while. You can do with this one product, and it's not that expensive. I think it's like $15 for the...
$15 Canadian, which is $11.95 American money.
And then
money.
They've also got two versions, though, now. They've got the standard, and they've got the professional.
Right.
Now, with this, you can do recording, digital recording using Total Recorder drivers. It has recording level controls. It has a scheduler in it. So you can sit there and do multiple scheduling of different recordings that you want to record. It has clips, so you can also pause. You can sit there and equalizer control. You can save selected fragments, delete certain fragments within a recording. So if you want to edit it out, you know, say the commercials, the sound bite, you can sit there and say, delete this, and then save the without whatever. Right. It also has... let's see, when recording reaches a specific size, you can sit there and have it stop. I mean, there's graphic sound images. There's a lot of add-ins. It's just a great product if you're into music or recording and that type of stuff, recording sound bites.
To step back a bit, what this product does is insert itself in between you and the audio driver to your sound card.
Right.
And so it sucks up the let's say you're playing audio from the internet, streaming audio, which normally you can't capture. This will capture it because it pretends to be the audio driver.
Yep.
It splits it off to capture it and then sends it to the sound card so you both hear it and capture it.
One of the other features is also if I have something in one format and I want to convert it to another format, Total Recorder allows me to do that. I mean, for the money,
It is a very versatile product.
Right. It's at TotalRecorder.com or HighCriteria.com.
Yep.
And it's a great product, and it's $15 Canadian, $11.95 American money, and it's I own it. I'm a big fan.
Same here. And I just got the update for it, and like I say, it's really unique for the purposes I want to use it for, and they're adding that much more.
Exactly.
A similar program for the Mac is Audio Hijack from a company called Rogue Amoeba.
Rogue Amoeba.
Their logo is an Amiga with a bandana and an M16.
you mean an Amoeba?
Amoeba.
Not an Amiga.
Amoeba. Yes, thank
Amiga
you.
Amiga would be a rival computer company. Our next caller is Jeff calling from Naples. I'm assuming that's Naples, New York.
That is.
Okay.
Naples, New York.
Because I didn't think our signal skip got that far.
Well, probably not during the day anyway.
Yeah.
I have a quick question about a virus. I have McAfee virus scan, and it notified me that there was a virus that it cleaned. It said run a complete virus scan, which I did. And I have one virus that it says it will not remove because the disk is write protected. I can't remove, clean, or quarantine.
Probably. You're running Windows XP?
Yes.
What you got to do is go in and disable your restore points.
Okay.
Because, we said earlier around noon, they're protected. And that's why it can't. So if you turn off the restore points,
okay,
and then try running it, it'll be able to get rid of it. Because a lot of these viruses like to hide in those restore points.
Yeah, the system restore is a function in Windows for allowing you to go back to a previous state. If something goes wrong with your Windows, you can restore a previous state. Well, that previous state can include all the viruses and spyware you had at that point.
Right. The problem is it's protected area. And McAfee, being a good citizen, is respecting that protected state. The viruses, being bad citizens, don't worry about that. And so they'll hide in that area, and McAfee can't go get them. What I would love to see is a button in McAfee that says, this is the file, this is where it is, it's in the system protected area. Do you want me to ignore the fact that it's protected and kill it anyway?
They'll probably in their next version.
I would love to see that. Just click the button and say ignore protection, ignore read only, and kill it.
Force it. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
So that's what you got to do, sir.
So take off system restore, rerun it, and it should be fine.
Now, when you do that, remember all your system restore points are gone. So if you wanted a system restore.
I have a new media center type computer, power.
Yep.
And I've come across a version that's available in both styles.
Mm-hmm.
But I have awfully mixed information as to which is better.
Neither.
They're both good.
Are they equal?
Yeah, it's basically six of one, half a dozen of the other.
There's
AMD is a little cheaper.
Yes.
And one other thing, though. I've explained this to four folks.
It's the megahertz myth that Apple's been fighting for years.
Right. Huh? Now, say you take a Intel 3.2 and an AMD 3200+.
Right.
Okay. What they do, because, again, they're trying to get away from the megahertz war. Even though, you know, they're the same speed, what AMD has done is added one more task to the clock speed. So say the AMD the Intel's doing, 1,000 tasks per millisecond.
Right.
The AMD's doing 1,001. Even though they're the same speed, it's doing more tasks because they can't really say it's faster.
Bottom line is, personally, I prefer AMD, but they're fairly similar. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Once again, for over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is KC from Rochester, New York. Welcome, KC. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you? Happy Sunday to you. I got a couple of questions.
Okie doke.
Is that for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, I know exactly who this is.
Thank you very much. I have taken the plunge into Mozilla as my default browser, and I am loving it.
You should be.
Thank you. Tabs is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Isn't it?
Your Windows and Tabs.
Love it.
I have just finished doing some extensive updates on my own personal website, and the screen tips that I created are visible in Internet Explorer, but they're not showing up in the Mozilla site. Is there anything I need to do to make that happen?
What are you creating your website with?
I am in Yahoo. I'm using the Yahoo Page Builder.
I believe that's FrontPage.
Which mm-hmm. is the problem. FrontPage works pretty much only with Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that, what happens is when you do that screen tips thing, they're using a proprietary ActiveX control that first thing it does is check to see what browser you're using, and if you're not using Internet Explorer, it shuts itself off.
Okay, that's not huge because Mozilla outweighs the fact that the text pops up or not.
Yeah.
AVG rules. I dumped Norton probably about 6 weeks ago, and I'm just loving AVG. It found two viruses that had been in my system that Norton never found.
Right.
And I have a very last question.
Yes.
I have a huge hard drive, which is my D drive, that I could have space. I have space to load XP on. If I wanted to load a whole new version of XP, because I'm currently using Windows 98 SE, onto my D drive, and then change my boot sector so that it puts it in first in line to boot from my D drive with XP, that would then I could free up everything on my C drive?
Yes.
Well,
you
D-drive.
Will have to reload all your software, though. Because what happens is when you load the new version, it really is a new version, and it doesn't know about the other stuff you've got, like OpenOffice or Microsoft Office or whatever. And so you have to reload all of those when you have a new version. Okay.
Nice. Oh. And basically, after you reboot, that D drive is now the new C drive, and your old C drive becomes the D drive.
What he could do, though, is if he's got a dual boot, in the 98 version, he could do the what they call the file transfer wizard. And it puts a it creates all the folders and saves it right there on the C drive. Then when he boots to the XP,
right,
he could say, "All right, do the file transfer again." Points to the folder on the C drive to restore all his settings and everything.
There
else
you go.
That might work.
The XP.
That works. Our next caller, Jeremy from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Jeremy. What's your question?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have just a little background. I bought a new computer back in September. And prior to that, I had purchased a new version of McAfee for my old PC.
Yep.
And my new computer didn't come loaded with McAfee like my HP did.
Right.
It came with Norton.
Right.
And my subscription to Norton runs out at the end of this month.
Right.
And I'm trying to find out, is it more of a headache, because the McAfee that I have right now is 2003.
Yep.
And the Norton, I can upgrade to Norton 2005, but do I want to do that, or do I want to go back to McAfee? Is it going to be a huge headache?
McAfee. We're all for McAfee, got to tell you the truth. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in, apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. We will be back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob the Taskmaster Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hi, welcome.